to talk about one of the great events of this century. In every age, we find, as it says in the Bhagavad Gita, that when darkness increases and virtue declines, God sends one of his enlightened children into the world to help mankind to understand the way of truth and to inspire man to follow that way. And this inspiration comes on many levels. One of them is to offer to people the ideal human being for that particular, for the needs of that particular age. An ideal person has come in the form of Buddha with his compassion and world renunciation. And if we read in the books about his path of moderation, we must also understand that that moderation was a moderation of extremity rather than a moderation of lukewarm spirituality. He was a man who absolutely dedicated his life to the divine quest until he found the nirvana, the divine consciousness and freedom in the soul that he was seeking. And Jesus came into this world again with another personality. Each one of them is different, not only because God is always new in every human being. Every thumbprint is different. Every personality is unique. But also because, in a way, a master doesn't have a personality so much as manifests a personality. Yogananda used to say, I killed Yogananda long ago. No one dwells in this temple now but God. And indeed, looking into his eyes, it was very difficult to see a personality, because you identify a personality in terms of the things people like and don't like, in terms of their desires and their antipathies. You looked into his eyes, you didn't see anything of that nature. You saw behind that deep calmness an infinite consciousness. It was indeed as if living in the presence of God, knowing that God, that form is not God, no form could define God. And yet God is manifest in all beings. And the thing is, as Jesus said, when they accused him of blaspheming, because he said he and God, his Father, are one, he said, don't the scriptures say you are gods? He didn't say, God says so and you'd better believe him or you'll go to hell. He didn't justify himself in terms of his own uniqueness. He justified himself in terms of our divine potential. And then he made it clear that the difference, there is obviously a difference, is simply that he was awake in that consciousness where the generality of mankind is asleep. And so when a master comes into this world, he doesn't come as a person. He comes as a messenger and as a, you might say, a window of the divine. In that context, I'd like to pause a moment to give you an illustration of many years ago. I was working in an office, and outside my window, which was on the ground floor, there was a very beautiful garden. Many times, because my desk faced this garden, I would look up and feast my gaze on the flowers, the greenery, the trees, and it would calm my mind and sort of energize my thoughts. One day there was a big rainstorm, and mud splattered all over the window, such that it was no longer pleasant to look through the window, because you see, you saw all these splotches of mud. And for two or three weeks, I didn't have the time to get out there, or, well, I would like to say that was the reason. It may have been some other, but let's settle on that as the reason. Anyway, finally, there was a free Saturday, and I went out there and washed the window. And I came back inside, and I said, oh, what a beautiful window. And then I laughed at myself, because I realized what made the window beautiful was that I could see through it. I couldn't see the window. And another illustration is the clouds. when the sun is going down and there are clouds in the western horizon, they take on magical hues of gold, red, orange, even green sometimes. And yet, only a few minutes later, those same beautiful clouds become gray and finally dark and not so interesting. And so it is with every human being, that we have within us the infinite life. Each one of us lives only by that power, but not knowing it, not recognizing that that's the source, we take unto ourselves the credit for that divine. And so we splatter this window with desires, with likes and dislikes, with anger and jealousy and greed and all the emotions that human nature is heir to. And when we see people, we do not see God. We see the window obscured. And when we see somebody who somehow is beautiful, and there are very few people, but we do see them, and in this relative world, because we don't see very many of us have the opportunity to see a living expression of God, a great saint, a great master. We see people who are more happy than others, more loving than others, more compassionate, kind, and we say they too are beautiful. But usually human beings of all, even of this type, are limited. They're still capable of losing their sweetness, of losing their calmness, until we find someone who goes beyond all these definitions. We no longer can think of them as individuals. Or if we do, it's our failure, because they've lost that sense of individuality. What makes a master beautiful is that you don't see the window anymore. You see through it. You see that divine love expressed through the human love. You see that divine joy expressed through the human enthusiasm and so on. And yet, one thing that is important to bring out is that even though a great master is above human personality in that sense, at the same time, he is human. He's very human. He's completely human. And he helps us to understand that to be completely human is to be more than what we are. It's almost like saying, well, we are not yet human. We're working at it because we have a potential that we have not yet realized until we have realized that we are that infinite self.